where the news never stops. LBC News.
This is indeed LBC News, and we are going to now talk. Let's go to America for our USA Today feature, as we talk to Simon Marks, who is joining us now. Simon, good afternoon to you. Good morning to you in Washington.
Morning to you, Martin.
Let's just consider the ongoing court case in Minneapolis. What's the very latest we're getting from there or expecting from there later today?
Well, more testimony as the prosecution continues to make its case in the murder trial of Derek Chauvin. Of course, the former Minneapolis police officer accused of murdering George Floyd last May the 25th by kneeling on Mr. Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes. And yesterday, there was absolutely explosive and extremely rare testimony offered by the Minneapolis police chief, Madaria Arredondo. It is very, very unusual for a police chief from any force in the United States to find himself or herself in court testifying in the murder trial of a former member of their own police force. But those were the circumstances in which Chief Arredondo found himself yesterday, and he testified, as expected, that he believed that Derek Chauvin had used excessive force against George Floyd. That was the reason why he had decided to fire Derek Chauvin after the incident and after he'd reviewed the video tapes of the incident that were captured at the scene. He was then asked by prosecution lawyers, at what point should the police treatment of Mr. Floyd have eased up? At what point, in other words, should Derek Chauvin have released his knee and started attending to what was obviously by that stage an unresponsive, unconscious George Floyd? Here's a clip of his testimony.
Once Mr. Floyd, and this is based on my viewing of the videos, once Mr. Floyd had stopped resisting, and certainly once he was in distress and trying to verbalize that, that should have stopped. And clearly, when Mr. Floyd was no longer responsive and even motionless, to continue to apply that level of force to a person proned out, handcuffed behind their back, that in no way, shape, or form is anything that is by policy, is not part of our training, and it is certainly not part of our ethics or our values.
Now, that kind of testimony is one of the reasons why the prosecution is suggesting to the jury that this case is completely open and shut. If even the chief of police in Minneapolis believes that George Floyd committed a murder, how can the jury be in any doubt about his guilt? But defense lawyers pushed back and suggested that force is an unpleasant but often necessary part of the job of being a police officer in Minneapolis. And they challenged the police chief over the fact that he conceded it's been many years since he personally made an arrest. Their suggestion to the jury was that he's out of touch with the situation on the streets of the very city whose police force he heads. Hard to see that they made much headway there. But look, the defense hasn't even started presenting its case yet. And we know, Martin, that that is going to focus very, very heavily on George Floyd's extensive use of drugs and his opioid addiction.
And in other news that's going to be topping the headlines by the end of your day, some work in Vienna trying to salvage the Iran deal. Where are we with that, Simon?
Yeah, and maybe by the end of your day as well, Martin, depending on how well they all get along. The Americans and the Iranians have arrived in Vienna for what is going to be shuttle diplomacy. They're in the same city, but they're not going to be in the same room or even, I think, the same building. Teams of diplomats from both sides saying that they are there to look into ways of re-establishing the Iran nuclear deal. The Iranians say they want the Americans to lift all the sanctions that Donald Trump reimposed on Iran when he unilaterally withdrew the United States from the nuclear deal. The Americans say the Iranians need to return to full compliance with the nuclear deal before they can do that. So the sequencing of all of this is going to be absolutely key. Synchronizing approaches is going to be vital. It will fall to European diplomats to shuttle back and forward between the two rooms in a bid over time to build trust. Is there going to be a breakthrough? Will this get anywhere? We don't know. Both sides, of course, are mutually suspicious of one another, but certainly these talks have occurred very, very quickly after Democrats in Congress put pressure on Joe Biden in the White House and told him there's a window of opportunity to get this done. Iran's got an election this coming June. If you don't take advantage of that window, it may be slammed shut forever after that election. So let's see where things head.
And the economists could have some interesting data as to how the world is looking in these post-COVID times.
Yes, absolutely. It's the spring meetings of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. Under normal pre-COVID circumstances, this would be the week when the streets of Washington were gridlocked with the limousines of the world's financiers and ministers of finance. Of course, it's all happening in very large measure virtually because the possibility of the face-to-face still doesn't exist here in Washington. But what will definitely be coming out in around half an hour's time is the latest World Economic Outlook, the latest projections from those international financial institutions of how the economy is doing globally and what the prospects are for what appears to be a very lopsided economic recovery, with some parts of the world already exhibiting healthy shoots of economic activity and other parts of the world lagging behind. So it's going to be interesting to see, not just in terms of the projection of the global growth forecast that they offer up, but also in terms of the specificities that they outline for each part of the world and individual countries, how lopsided they envisage this economic recovery is going to be, and which parts of the world will be in the driving seat and which parts of the world are likely to fall behind.
Simon Marks, live for us in Washington, D.C. Talk again tomorrow.
This is LBC News.
Thanks for listening to Simon Marks reporting. And if you like what you heard, click the subscribe button and come back soon for more. And I'd love it if you'd give me a review. Those can be hugely helpful in spreading the word. Thanks a lot. More from me soon.